This is the Power of Your Subconscious Mind podcast, a chapter-by-chapter reading of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which is in the public domain. This book was written in 1963, and although the language is a bit arcane at times, the concepts are still cutting edge. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I am a coach at lanesmithbrown.com and the host of the Unleash Your Life podcast. I help my students apply the concepts in this book by helping them understand what is really playing in their subconscious mind. That's a mystery to most people, and why so many people read or listen to this book and don't get the results they want. Check out the links in the show notes or go directly to lanesmithbrown.com. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, brought to you by WeirdHummingbirds.com. This book is in the public domain. Chapter 10, Your Right to be Rich. You have a fundamental right to be rich. You are here to lead the abundant life and be happy, radiant, and free. You should therefore have all the money you need to lead a full, happy, and prosperous life. You are here to grow, expand, and unfold spiritually, mentally, and materially. You have the inalienable right to fully develop and express yourself in all your potentials. An important aspect of that is the ability, should you choose, to surround yourself with beauty and luxury. Why be satisfied with just enough to go around when you can enjoy the riches of your subconscious mind? In this chapter, you will learn to make friends with money. Once you do, you will always have all that you need and more. Don't let anyone make you feel doubtful or ashamed of your desire to be rich. At its deepest level, it is a desire for a fuller, happier, more wonderful life. It is a cosmic urge. It is not only good, but very good. Money is a symbol. Money is a symbol of exchange. To you, it is a symbol not only of freedom from want, but of beauty, refinement, abundance, and luxury. It is also a symbol of the economic health of the nation. When your blood is circulating freely in your body, you are healthy. When money is circulating freely in your life, you are economically healthy. When people begin to hoard money, to put it away in tin boxes, and become charged with fear, they become economically ill. As a symbol, money has taken many forms throughout the centuries. Almost anything you can think of has served as money at some time and place in history. Gold and silver, of course, but also salt, beads, and trinkets of various kinds. In early times, people's wealth was often determined by the number of sheep and oxen they owned. Now we use currency and other negotiable instruments. One reason is obvious. It is much more convenient to write a check than to carry a few sheep around with you to pay your bills. How to walk the royal road to riches. Once you understand the powers of your subconscious mind, you have within your grasp a road map to the royal road to riches of all kinds, spiritual, mental, or financial. Anyone who has taken the trouble to learn the laws of mind believes and knows definitively that she will never want, regardless of economic crisis, stock market fluctuations, recessions, strikes, galloping inflation, or even war. She will always be amply supplied. The reason for this is that she has conveyed the idea of wealth to her subconscious mind. As a result, it keeps her supplied whenever she may need it. She has convinced herself in her mind that money is forever flowing freely in her life, and that there is always a wonderful surplus available to her. As she decrees it, so it is. Should there be a financial collapse tomorrow and everything she possesses becomes worthless, she will still attract wealth. She will come through the crisis comfortably and likely even gain advantage from it. Why you do not have more money. As you read this chapter, you may be thinking, I deserve a bigger income than I have. In my opinion, that is true of most people. They really do deserve to have more, but they are not likely to get it. One of the most important reasons these people do not have money is that they silently or openly condemn it. They refer to money as filthy lucre. They tell their children and friends that the love of money is the root of all evil. Coupled with this as a reason they do not prosper is that they have a sneaky subconscious feeling there is some special virtue in poverty. This subconscious pattern may be due to early childhood training, or it may be based on false interpretations of scripture. Money and a balanced life. One time a man came to me and said, I am broke, but that's all right. I do not like money. It is the root of all evil. These statements represent the thinking of a confused, neurotic mind. Love of money to the exclusion of everything else will cause you to become lopsided and unbalanced. You are here to use your money or power and authority wisely. Some people crave power, others crave money. If you set your heart on money exclusively and say, money is all I want, I am going to give all my attention to amassing money, nothing else matters, you can get money and gain a fortune, but at what cost? You have forgotten that you are here to lead a balanced life. You must also satisfy the hunger for peace of mind, harmony, love, joy, and perfect health. By making money your sole aim, you made a wrong choice. You thought that that was all you wanted, but you found after all your efforts that it was not only the money you needed. No one on his deathbed wishes he had spent more time making money. You also desire true expression of your hidden talents, true place in life, beauty, and the joy of contributing to the welfare and success of others. By learning the law of your subconscious mind, you could have $1 million or many millions if you wanted them, and still have peace of mind, harmony, perfect health, and perfect expression. Before we continue, I just want to say this is good stuff, isn't it? Your hopes are high. Let me tell you right now from my own experience that without addressing all the limited thinking you have in your subconscious mind, none of this will work for you. It's just going to be empty. A little hype, a little change in your hope meter, and then you go back to the same old, same old. If you want to improve your odds of succeeding with Murphy's Principles, check out the resources in the show notes. Poverty is a mental illness. There is no virtue in poverty. It is an illness like any other mental illness. If you were physically ill, you would realize there was something wrong with you. You would seek help and try to cure the condition at once. In the same way, if you do not have enough money constantly circulating in your life, there is something radically wrong with you. The urge of the life principle in you is towards growth, expansion, and the life more abundant. You are not here to live in a hovel, dress in rags, and go hungry. You should be happy, prosperous, and successful. Why you must never criticize money. Cleanse your mind of all weird and superstitious beliefs about money. Do not ever regard money as evil or filthy. If you do, you cause it to take wings and fly away from you. Remember that you lose what you condemn. You cannot attract what you criticize. getting the right attitude towards money. Here is a simple technique you may use to multiply money in your experience. Use the following statements several times a day. I like money. I love it. I use it wisely, constructively, and judiciously. Money is constantly circulating in my life. I release it with joy, and it returns to me multiplied in a wonderful way. It is good and very good. Money flows to me in avalanches of abundance. I use it for good only, and I am grateful for my good and for the riches of my mind. How the scientific thinker looks at money. Suppose you discovered a rich vein of gold, silver, lead, copper, or iron in the ground. Would you announce that these things are evil? Of course not. All evil comes from humankind's darkened understanding, from ignorance, from false interpretations of life, and from misuse of the subconscious mind. Since money is simply a symbol, we could just as easily use lead or tin or some other metal as a medium of exchange. In the earlier part of the 20th century, U.S. dimes and quarters were made of silver. At times, they contained 10 cents or 25 cents worth of silver. Then the government started making them of cheaper materials. But the worth of a quarter is still 25 cents, even if the metal that makes it up is worth far less than that. A physicist will tell you that the only difference between one metal and another is the kind and number of elementary particles in its atoms. If you direct a stream of particles at a block of one metal, you can change it into another. The alchemist's ancient dream of producing gold from the baser metals is now within our grasp. But so what? Gold is no more virtuous or evil than lead. They are different substances with different properties. That's all. It is only because of the long history in which gold was considered especially precious that people love it, or hate it, more than they do lead. How to attract the money you need. Many years ago, I met a young man in Australia who told me that his fondest dream was to become a physician. He was taking science classes and doing brilliantly, but he had no way to pay for medical school. His parents were both dead. To support himself, as he cleaned doctor's offices in the local hospital's professional building. I explained to him that a seed planted in the soil attracts to itself everything it needs for its proper unfolding. All he had to do was to take a lesson from the seed and plant the required idea in his subconscious mind. Every night, as this young man went to sleep, he visualized a medical diploma with his name in big, bold letters. He found it easy to create a sharp, detailed image of the diploma. Part of his job was to dust and polish the framed diplomas hanging on the walls of the doctor's offices, and he studied them as he cleaned them. He persisted with this visualization technique every night for about 4 months. Then one of the doctors whose office he cleaned asked if he would like to become a physician's assistant. The doctor paid him to attend a training program where he learned a wide variety of medical skills, then gave him a job as his assistant. He was so impressed with the young man's brilliance and determination that he later helped him through medical school. Today, this young man is a prominent doctor in Montreal, Canada. This young man's success came because he had learned the law of attraction. He discovered how to use his subconscious mind the right way. This involved making use of an age-old law that says, having clearly seen the end, you have willed the means to the realization of the end. The end in this case was to become a physician. He was able to imagine, see, and feel the reality of being a doctor. He lived with the idea. He sustained it, nourished it, and loved it. At last, through his visualization, the idea penetrated the layer of his subconscious mind. It became a conviction. That conviction then attracted to him everything that was needed for the fulfillment of his dream. Why some people do not get a raise in pay. Let us say you work for a large corporation. You believe that you are underpaid. You resent the fact that you are not appreciated by your employers. You constantly mull over your conviction that you deserve more money and greater recognition. By setting yourself in mental opposition to your employer, you are subconsciously severing your ties with that organization. You are setting a process in motion. Then, one day, your superior tells you, "We have to let you go." In a real sense, you dismissed yourself. Your superior was simply acting as the instrument through which your own negative mental state was confirmed. This is an example of the law of attraction and reaction. The action is your thought, and the reaction is the response of your subconscious mind. Obstacles and impediments on the pathway to riches. From time to time, you have probably heard someone say, "Anybody who makes a lot of money has to be some kind of a crook." The person who talks and thinks this way is usually suffering from a financial illness. Maybe he is bitter and envious of former friends who have been more successful and now have greater resources. If so, this person is creating his own difficulties, entertaining negative thoughts about those friends and condemning their wealth causes prosperity and wealth to flee. Would you stay with someone who condemns you? Of course not, and neither will wealth. The person is chasing away the thing he is praying for. He is praying in two ways. On the one hand, he is saying, "I wish wealth to flow to me now." But in the next breath, he is saying, "That fellow's wealth is dirty. It's evil." This contradiction is a signpost on the road to poverty and misery. Always make it a special point to rejoice in the wealth of another person. Protect your investments. If you are seeking guidance regarding investments, or if you are worried about your stocks or bonds, quietly claim, "Infinite intelligence governs and watch over all my financial transactions. Whatsoever I do shall prosper." If you do this frequently with perfect faith and confidence, you will find that you will be guided to make wise business investments. Moreover, you will be protected from loss because you will be prompted to sell any risky securities or holdings before any loss accrues to you. You cannot get something for nothing. In large stores, the management hires guards and store detectives to keep people from stealing. Every day, they catch a number of people trying to get something for nothing. Anyone who does such a thing is steeped in a mental atmosphere of lack and limitation. In trying to steal from others, they are robbing themselves of peace, harmony, faith, honesty, integrity, goodwill, and confidence. Furthermore, their message to their subconscious mind draws them all manner of loss. Loss of character, prestige, social status, and peace of mind. These people do not understand how their minds work. They lack faith in the source of supply. If only they would mentally call on the powers of their subconscious mind and claim that they are guided to their true expression, they would find work and abundance. Then, by honesty, integrity, and perseverance, they would become a credit to themselves and to society at large. Your constant supply of money. The path to freedom, comfort, and a constant supply of needed wealth lies in recognizing the powers of your subconscious mind and the creative power of your thought or mental image. Accept the abundant life in your own mind. Your mental acceptance and expectancy of wealth has its own mathematics and mechanics of expression. As you enter into the mood of opulence, all things necessary for the abundant life will come to pass. Let this be your daily affirmation. Write it in your heart. I am one with the infinite riches of my subconscious mind. It is my right to be rich, happy, and successful. Money flows to me frequently, freely, copiously, and endlessly. I am forever conscious of my true worth. I give of my talents freely, and I am wonderfully blessed financially. It is wonderful. Step up this way to riches. Be bold enough to claim that it is your right to be rich. Your deeper mind will honor your claim. You don't want just enough to go around. You want all the money you need to do all the things you want to do when you want to do them. Get acquainted with the riches of your subconscious mind. When money is circulating freely in your life, you are economically healthy. Look at money like the tide, and you will always have plenty of it. The ebb and flow of the tide is constant. When the tide is out, you are absolutely sure that it will return. Knowing the laws of your subconscious mind, you will always be supplied, regardless of what form money takes. One reason many people simply make ends meet and never have enough money is that they condemn money. What you condemn takes wings and flies away. Do not make a god of money. It is only a symbol. Remember that the riches are in your mind. You are here to lead a balanced life. This includes acquiring all the money you need. Don't make money your sole aim. Claim wealth, happiness, peace, true expression, and love, and personally radiate love and goodwill to all. Then your subconscious mind will give you compound interest in all fields of expression. There is no virtue in poverty. It is a disease of the mind. You should heal yourself of this mental conflict or malady at once. You are not here to live in a hovel, to dress in rags, or to go hungry. You are here to lead the life more abundant. Never use the term filthy lucre or say, I despise money. You lose what you criticize. Money in itself is neither good nor bad, but thinking of it in either light makes it so. Repeat frequently, I like money. I use it wisely, constructively, and judiciously. I release it with joy, and it returns a thousandfold. Money is not evil any more than copper, lead, tin, or iron that you may find in the ground are. All evil is due to ignorance and misuse of the mind's power. To picture the end result in your mind causes your subconscious to respond and fulfill your mental picture. Stop trying to get something for nothing. There is no such thing as a free lunch. You must give to receive. If you give mental attention to your goals, ideals, and enterprises, your deeper mind will back you up. The key to wealth is to apply the laws of the subconscious mind by impregnating it with the idea of wealth. That's the end of this chapter. There's so much good stuff here, but if you don't address the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors in your subconscious mind, nothing will change for you. Don't be a listener, be a doer. Get the change you're seeking. The show notes contain links to lanesmithbrown.com, and for more helpful information on how to really apply the concepts in this book, check out my Unleash Your Life podcast. This is Lane Smith Brown, signing off.